Jesus, we commit it all to you, and it's all in your name, and it's all by your might, and it's all to your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I thank the Lord. We will praise him for his grace till he come. And then we'll praise him for the exceeding riches of his grace in all of the eternity to come. Praise God. And here we go in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Lord, truly, just allow the love of Christ to be shed abroad. Increase the praise for the glory of your grace in my life. In verse 9, it says, Know ye not? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not hear the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. So something changed, didn't it? So he's going through quite a list there. And that's not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, and such were some of you. Anybody got a mirror for me? Amen. Come on. Now what happened? But ye are washed. Oh, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That's all in the past. Isn't that wonderful? No longer. And it's not because of actions or doing or keeping. Not at all. It's all because of that precious blood of Jesus. And as it assures us, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I'm going to ask every life here today, are you born again? If not, call out to Jesus right now and be born again. Hallelujah. Now, Galatians 6:24. And keep your finger back there in 1 Corinthians 6. Galatians 6:24, and it says, And they that are Christ's. Are you Christ's? Come on now, are you Christ's? Oh, yes, you are. You belong to him. Hallelujah. You're of him. You're his precious body. Bone of his bone. Flesh of his flesh. And they that are of Christ. That's us. They that are Christ. Have what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Does that say it's going to happen? I believe that says it did happen. And yes, it did. And brothers and sisters, it was not by works, was it? It was done because of that new birth. It's done because of the life of Jesus that lives in you. You got another life? No, you don't. When you accepted Christ, you died. And I thank the Lord, we rejoice. And we say, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. But brother, I still do things that I would not. I know. We all do. I heard four amens. Maybe that person next to you needs to know you a little bit better. Amen. Amen. And I'll say it just like Paul. He told us that in Romans 7, didn't he? Yes, he did. Sweetly, tenderly. Troubled. You could hear discouragement in him. Frustration. I can't get this done. But then in Acts 13:39, Jesus said, I covered it. By him all that believe. I believe there's some of all that believe here today. Is there some of all that believe here today? You know what? We're justified from all things. So all that believe are justified from all things which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. I'm going to ask you again, how many things? Now wait a second. Are you sure? Was it a few things? Was it most things? You're justified from all things. How dare you? You believe God like that? You're out there that far? Get out further. And don't stop. Go on back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and let's read about this victory that grace gives us. We'll read from verse 11 again because I love what the blood did. And it said, and such were some of you. Right there, I've just about lost it. Just to say, oh, Jesus. Oh, what I was. But I'm brand new. Brand new. Brand new. All things have been made new. I got his life. I got the new man. Christ liveth in me. Oh, Christ liveth in me. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, the love of God better constrain me. So it says, and that was some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me. That's what that did. All things are lawful unto me. But all things are not expedient. But he comes back and he tells you again, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Praise God. Thank him for this. Do you realize your liberty that is in Christ? Now, I do not want this liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And I love how it says right after that, in love, serve one another, because I love you. I want grace to work in me in the power of the grace of God. That truly is the only power that can change my life from glory to glory into his very image. I want that because I want to be pleasing to him, but I'm telling you what a motivation it is. I love you. I don't want you to look on the outward appearance, but I want you to see the glory of God working in my life. But the glory of God doesn't just stop working in my life when I fail. And when I do, I want to believe the more. And I pray that that would even be a more of an abounding hope that those that love and that love me in the truth. But I understand there may be some that might not be there. God forbid I would stumble someone in the truth. And that's because I love you. And love, I want to serve you. Amen. Amen. Now, all things are lawful, but all things aren't profitable. All things aren't spiritually encouraging. But I thank God here is Paul, because of that grace and that mercy and that new life that lives in him, he says, I'm believing God. I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. Romans 6:12 says it like this. Don't let sin reign in your life. Don't let it reign upon you. See, Paul didn't say don't let sin exist. That ain't going to happen. That will not happen. He said, do not let it reign upon your life. That sin, brothers and sisters, that's in our flesh, it'll always be there. But because of grace, I do not need to yield to it. I do not need to yield to it. Or let it have complete power over my life. Go on over there to Romans 6. In verse 14 of Romans chapter 6, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. That's why sin doesn't have power over you. Not because of what you do or don't do. It's because of grace. It's done. It's done. You may think sin has power over you or something's upon you. It doesn't. That doesn't exist. That's a lie. And that's how Satan does these things. Believe the word of God and be free. What? Then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? Now, if you just read that, you could be as confused as you could ever be. But now let's talk about who we are again. But God be thanked that ye are the servants, that ye were the servants of sin. You were. But have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And what happens with that? Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. See, we're not the servants of sin. A child of God cannot be a servant of sin. You're the servants of righteousness because of the new birth. That's why you are. It's not hope to be. You are. You have been made the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not trying to attain that. It's done by the blood of the Lamb. Once and for all, it's the seed that remains. If Christ's life lives in you, let me tell you something. Christ has but one life. It's fully righteous. It's fully holy. It's fully accepted in the beloved. It's fully now a son of God. You can praise the Lord. You really can, and thank him. We can never know this enough. You can never stand on this foundation enough. You can never praise him enough for the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Now, when you really know that you are free from sin, then you really know something. And when you know you are free from something, and I mean you really, really know you are free from something, you know it has no power over you. I'm going to ask you again, are you free from sin? No, I want to really hear it. Are you free from sin? Yes. You better know it. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. It is done. It is done. You may not feel like it. You may not act like it. But let me tell you something. He finished it at the cross. And that is our Lord. And that is our Savior. And that's whom we believe. and he is the beloved Lamb of God. And may we respect him and believe what he has done for us. Amen. Now, think of how he assures us this. Romans 4:15, and I'll read these off and you can write them down because you ain't going to get there fast enough. In Romans 4:15, it says, where there is no law, there is no sin. In Romans 5:20, it says, we are under grace. In Colossians 2:14, it says that the law and the ordinances which were against us are nailed to the cross, and Jesus Christ took them out of the way. In Romans 7:2, it says we are released from the law. In Romans 10:4, it says Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And so in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm free. And you are too, brother and sister. Now, Colossians 1:21 and 22, turn there. Oh, mighty is our God. Colossians 1:21 and 22. Lord, work it effectually in us. Oh, hallelujah. And here we go, you and you and you. And I got the mirror, and you. Huh? That were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works. Oh, here we got a now, though. I like that one. Yet now hath he reconciled. Notice we didn't do a thing, did we? There's a real pattern here. It ain't by my might. It was by that stripe of death that he took for you and finished for us on that cross. Oh, yes, he did. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you, oh, listen to this, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. I'm holy in his sight. I'm blameless in his sight. And I'll define that last one for you. I'm unaccusable in his sight. You trying to accuse me of something? You're talking to the wrong guy. I try to accuse you of something. I'm talking to the wrong person. We're beginning to really understand who we are in Christ. Whom he has made free is free indeed. It was so sweet as the Lord dealing with me on this. I recently heard a sister remembering her asking Brother Hill as she was having a problem in her life with some things. She said, Brother Hill, do I need to repent of my wrongs to Jesus? I could see Brother Hill just looking at her. He said to her, well, honey, I'll tell you what, you better first know that he forgot all that. You better first know your sins are remembered no more. But, sweetheart, if it makes you feel better to tell him you're sorry, you go ahead. And I could see him smile. And then wink at the Lord. Now I want you to know something here. And really listen. Because it's really confusing what the enemy's doing. A child of God. A child of God does not repent. No. We need to know our word. We need to know our word. And in the word of God, whenever you hear about repenting as far as sin, it's always, always, always speaking about a sinner who needs to repent of his sin, his guilt, to the Lord to accept Christ Jesus as Savior. And in the majority of those cases, and then he goes or she goes and is baptized. All the things that we just read, that we just rejoiced in, all of the verses about how free, indeed, about how he that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin. If that's the life that I have, what would I have to repent for? The Bible would be contradictory, but I am telling you, know your word. And see what happens when Christians continue to talk about repenting and how the twist has become. Is then it goes and it doesn't stop. And then the repenting has to be, well, it's a return to salvation. A little leaven will leaven that whole lump. Know the word of God. Now, we always want to be tender. Amen? Oh, you know it. That's, brothers and sisters, how could I be belligerent with the Lord and truly in love serve you? I couldn't be. I couldn't. There's no way. I want to be tender with the Lord in my life. I want fellowship and harmony with the love of God in my life. I want that faith in love working in my life. I want to stand in the whole counsel of God. Amen. But I will tell you, saints, because this is often, and I've been in this for some time. I've been, praise God, in this grace doctrine over half a century. And it's not about time or, you know, anything of that nature. But I'm telling you, cognizant of it, the Lord drew me in as a young person. And I'll tell you what knocks people out, well overwhelmingly, is self-righteousness and legality. They miss it. And that's why Paul went back to him. He said, who hath bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Where did that switch? As it says in Romans, it's grace, and if it's grace, then it's no more works. But if you want to go by works, then it's not going to be any more grace. And I believe that the mark for the prize for the high calling of God is nothing but grace. Now, let's go into this a bit. We understand we want to be tender. We want that tenderness always to be there with the things of God. But we need to know this. If righteousness or the growth in righteousness comes by keeping the law, then Christ died in vain. And I'm going to tell you something. Christ didn't die in vain. Because it's grace. And if it was our actions and our keeping, then the prodigal son's brother would have been the one that would have received the coat, the ring, and the kiss, and not the prodigal son. But I'm going to tell you what God's choice is. It's grace. God's choice will always be grace. And it's never going to be our actions that bring sanctification. The word of God says it's hearing the word of his grace and believing. That's what builds us up and builds this masterpiece in our lives. Brothers and sisters, let us never forget that we were saved by God's great love called mercy. Oh, yes, we were. And then God says that he loves to bestow the riches of his glory on his vessels of mercy. So I'm going to tell you something. Never, ever be ashamed of mercy. Never be ashamed of unconditional forgiveness. Never be ashamed of unconditional favor. Actually, if that really starts to work effectually in your life, you just might change. And I've seen a lot of glorious change in here because you're starting to get it, and I am too. Now, that mercy is the gold mine. It's the gold mine. It is. It's the gold mine to the Lord. The mercy seat had everything of the gold mine because it was covered in the blood of the Lamb. It's all there. Don't take your eyes off of it. The cherubim stared at it all the time. Those wings bowed and worshiped to it. There was nothing else to distract them. They didn't even look at one another. It was just right there on that mercy. And God, I'll tell you, he had a gold mine of mercy in a brother named David. Oh, yes, he did. Do you know that David praised the Lord for his mercy more than anybody in the Bible? David. Oh, yeah. You'll find the word mercy about 400 times in the Bible. 400. You talk about a deliverance, huh? I think I remember about 400. Who are those ones that were kept in Egypt there for 400 years? You want deliverance? It's mercy. Amen? About half of those entries of mercy were written by David. And here we know that the Word of God tells us that David was the man after God's own heart. So I'll tell you what, I want to be like that man, so I want to enter into that same praise of mercy. So as I look at this, and as the Lord brings this to close, mercy is what changes us. Mercy is what changed David from glory to glory. And I'm talking about the love that never failed. See, that's mercy. I'm talking about the love that never varied. The love of Christ. That motivated David. It wasn't the guilt. It wasn't the shame. I mean, I was so thankful to God when the prophet came to him and he said, "You're the man. You're the man." He understood that. And I love how it was answered in the psalm. David didn't go out there and blubber before the people. He didn't go out there before the people and say, "Oh, forgive me, I'm such a sinner, I'm so wrong." He didn't do that. He knew the grace of God. And it was real quick. "Before thee and thee only have I sinned." That was it. And if you look up that word "sinned," it's not the same as what you're thinking, because it couldn't be. He knew he failed. And he wasn't just sitting there and saying, "Well, God's going to punish me." He went and worshiped God. And he prayed. And he knew God could have mercy on him with that child. But God's will was to take the child. And it wasn't to punish him. God had purpose in it. And after that child was taken, he took off that sackcloth and he went on worshiping the Lord. Get over condemnation. And don't let anybody put condemnation on your life. Brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you, Jesus loves us. He just does. And God forbid that we would ever go around here trying to be motivated in some way that we think we can change or perfect this flesh, because it's not going to happen. It won't happen. That doesn't mean I'm surrendering to sin, so those that want to say that, please get over your viperness. That's the truth. It's a disgrace to the grace of God that's preached in this building. And it saddens me. And it hurts my heart. But I also know that it's needful. And I pray for people. I want you to know that. But it is disappointing with what God and his grace has poured forth. This rejoicing and this thankfulness to God for his grace and his glory that we have. I thank him Because somehow that love that he loves me with, I love you. And by the grace of God, I will stand and I will fight with you to stand in this grace. And not to have us to move from it. It's too beautiful and it's too perfect. Don't you ever put your confidence in a man. Don't you ever put your trust in a vessel. You stay with this stuff of grace. And I'll tell you, it's the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And brothers and sisters, I will assure you, I'm confident in his grace. That this is the message that by his grace we're going to preach here. And it's not going to vary. And I'll assure you this, we stay with it, we're going to win. Oh yes, we will. But it is a fight of faith. And brothers and sisters, we must fight to not be found having any shred of our self-righteousness. Any shred. You really understand that? Do you really believe that? I can't perfect this. It will never happen. This flesh cannot be. It's the plan of God. I don't want to yield to it, but I know it's there. I'll always have two natures. The old man's dead, but you'll always have two natures. You'll never get that old nature out. It's the plan of God. It pleases him. That's the good fight of faith. That's why you're geared like you are. That's why you have thorns. That's why you have these infirmities. Without them, you wouldn't be here today. And if we're looking to that perfection of flesh, there wouldn't be any in the congregation, and you wouldn't have a pastor. And if there was something that I could perfect in this, then why would the Word of God tell me, and why would Paul groan to put off the corruptible? I want you to know the grace of God. And I want you to stay in the grace of God. But I know it ain't my power. But he'll use the foolishness of this preaching. And he will. Till Jesus has come. And I got a crown. And I know you got one too, because you hear this. Don't you lay it down, honey. Don't you let any of the critics, don't you let any of those ones that are going to tell you how to keep it. I know who performs the good work that he's begun in you, because it's the same one that's performing the good work which he's begun in me. I learned a long time ago, I ain't looking to this guy and I ain't looking to you. I'm looking to him. And I'm having a good time in Jesus. How about you? Amen? Amen. Praise God. I thought you were going to get up here and sing, honey. Are we going to have, we're going to have the communion, aren't we? I'm singing already, though. I do love you, honeys. Let's love on in the grace of God. Amen. Brothers, where are you? We are going to take communion today, I believe. So I saw those sweet eyes. You weren't sleeping. Precious, precious. I just want to go to be with him. Lord, take this word, his wondrous might and power. I'd like to pray for us today. Oh. Father, in Jesus' name, we really are just without words of thanksgiving and praise. Lord, we're just in awe again of your love to us. And Lord, here we come as a precious little meeting, just a little handful, Lord God. And You said, this do in remembrance of me. Oh, Lord, we come down here with hearts just bursting. Lord, joy unceasing. Oh, behold the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world forever and ever and ever and ever. And we glory, Lord, glory for this grace that we hope to attain to be that Lamb's wife. And here we come today freely and in such thanksgiving to again partake of what you have finished and done in remembrance of you. Lord Jesus, the body that you freely gave. And Lord, the blood that you so willingly shed for us. Lord, thank you again that we believe and give you all the honor. And as we come this morning, Lord, take this word, work it effectually. Lord, powerfully, like dynamite in them that believe. It is the power of God unto salvation. And Lord, you've already broken every chain. The Lion of Judah has come. And I thank you for my brethren today. I thank you for all this precious family. How free they are. How glorious that you have made them free from sin. Lord, let us rejoice today. Let this be a day of thanksgiving. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.